Lord, take up your holy throne deep within my heart. Isn't that a wonderful cry? What a wonderful desire. And what happens when he takes up his holy throne deep within your heart? Christ lives in your heart. And when Christ lives in your heart, you walk in love. And when you walk in love, so that you know the length and breadth and depth and height of the love of God, which passes knowledge, the Bible says you're filled with the fullness of God. But God is not simply living in your heart, but the Spirit of God comes out and lives in your entire being. You're saturated with the Spirit of God, filled with His fullness. The Bible says we are sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of our redemption. And we need to live more and more in that seal as the days become more and more evil. When a boat is made, it's sealed on the inside so water can't get in. As long as that seal is unbroken, the boat just continues sailing. No harm can come from the outside, from the water. When we are sealed with the Spirit of God upon us, it is as if we're going through life in a tank, an Abraham's tank, for example. Makes no difference where you go, because all the enemy has are pop guns and arrows and pistols and maybe a few shotguns. But he doesn't have any missiles or tank killers. He has nothing that can destroy that seal. The only way that seal can be destroyed is for us to open the door. It's for us to break the seal. We sing, Lord, reign over us. Reign over us. We desire you to reign over us. What does that mean? It means that we as believers have accepted Jesus, not just as Savior, but as Lord. And He's Lord over us. And as He's Lord over us, He reigns over us because we do whatever He says. We treat Him as the King that He is, as the King of Kings. And when He says jump, we say how high. And when He's not telling us jump, we look at His executive orders. And we say, what are His executive orders saying? And we do what the Bible says, because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He reigns over us and takes up residence in our hearts. And we need to do that more and more as the time gets evil. At the beginning of 2011, the Lord spoke through me in a number of prophecies. And the theme of all the prophecies was that we're going into an era of fear. 5 years called the era of fear, where fear would be all over the earth. He told us many things. But one of the things He told us was that 5 cities would be attacked. And He gave us the name of the 5 cities that they would be attacked. And they were. All 5 cities, by name, terrorists tried to attack them. In all 5 cases, they failed. One that came closest was in New York. All 5 made the news. 5 cities were in New York, Dallas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. And all 5 made the news. The one that came the closest was the one in New York, in Times Square, where the bomb was actually ignited, but it fizzled. The others, they were all caught. Either they were caught, or they were actually buying the bombs and so forth from FBI agents, which doesn't work so well. Might get a cheap price, but it doesn't work. But now we're coming to the end of the era of fear. We have a month and a half left to go in this year, and we start the really challenging time. The Lord told us when the era of fear is over, then the times would get really hard, difficult, dangerous, very fast, and decline rapidly. That's where we're going now. Today, as perhaps many of you already know, was an unprecedented event in the Western world. In Paris today, terrorists attacked today in Paris. first report that I heard said that they had attacked three locations. A soccer game with 80,000 people attending, a movie theater, and a concert hall. And had taken all the people in the concert hall hostage. And at that point, they said at least 60 people were already confirmed dead, and the count would rise. Sometime later, I'm a little bit busy on Friday, so I don't sit there listening to the news. I just felt led to turn on the news, and I caught that. Came back later, heard another part. The number of locations that had been attacked was at 7. 7 locations attacked. The body count was up to 100, and that's just from the theater. They captured the theater, and they threw explosives into the audience. And the people of Paris were all afraid to leave their home. And they declared either, I'm not exactly sure what they did, whether it was martial law or a state of emergency with specific actions, whatever it was, it's a very dangerous time and place in Paris and in France right now. And many of the attackers got away. Or they killed 5 and got 1. So that's a really serious attack. To the best of my knowledge, never before in Western civilization have the terrorists ever been that successful. We've had multiple attacks in Iraq, Afghanistan, Egypt, but not in a Western country. A significant step forward. Well, interestingly enough, today our teaching is spiritual counterattack. That was an attack. That was a spiritual attack. What is a spiritual counterattack? Now, the focus of this teaching today is primarily for yourself. We're involved in warfare. Whether or not you like it, on the day you accepted Jesus, you're drafted into the military. There's no exceptions. There's like 3 exceptions or 1A exceptions or 1F or whatever they have. No exceptions. You're drafted. But you got 2 choices. You can stick your head in the sand like an Australian ostrich and pretend it's not happening. You can stand around and get beat up, or you can learn to fight. As for me and my household, we're learning to fight. How successful can you fight? Well, I give you the 2 witnesses in Revelation 11, who for 3.5 years defied the armies of hell, and they can't touch them. 3.5 years. Just as Jesus for 3.5 years defied the armies of hell, they couldn't touch him. He said, no man take my life. But at the completion of his task, he laid his life down. So he could die for us all. So he could take our sickness or diseases or infirmities, everything, our sorrows or pain, and die for us. Well, they couldn't kill him. Just so they will not be able to kill the 2 witnesses until their job is done. And the reason why they allowed them to kill them is so they can rise from the dead in front of everybody. First time he did it. You know the song about Sunday's coming and how nervous the devil is? Right? It's a great song, right? Well, that was Jesus coming back from the dead. So it is Jesus, and there's nobody like Jesus. He is unique. He's the Son of God. He's a Savior. He's the Lord. He's God. But the next go around, there's going to be 2. Not 2 Jesuses, but 2 fruits of Jesus' work, rising from the dead. I imagine that's going to get the devil a bit upset. We make a song called Sunday's Coming Part 2. Okay? Because that's just the beginning of a lot of people coming back from the dead. So, my suggestion is we all learn spiritual warfare. And to look at the reality of spiritual warfare, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So when those terrorists are coming into a theater to kill all these people, that's not the time to whip out your gun and start protecting yourself. People who don't know spiritual warfare, that's the only choice they have. Those in the theater who could run, hide, or fight back, I'm sure they did. The time for spiritual warfare, well, it's always, but a good time to apply it is before the problems arise. So in spiritual warfare, the main thing is to be led by the Spirit of God. So as a believer, you want to be led by the Spirit of God so you're not in the theater when it's taken over by terrorists. But if that ever happened, Jesus is your example. And he just made himself invisible and walked right through them. One way, just as Pastor Joseph, when the army surrounded him in China to arrest him and cut him off the jail and probably execution, he made himself invisible in a very strange way. God told him, take your Bible and put your Bible in front of your face like that and walk out of the house. That's very strange. You know, you would think, well, if I do that, I can't see them, but they can see me. But that's not the way God works. He put his Bible in front of his face. He opened the door, walked out. Nobody saw him. He walked over to the command truck. He's standing there, and the man in charge is saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got his house surrounded. We got Pastor Chang's house surrounded. And we're going to go in and capture him now. And Pastor is standing right next to him, and he doesn't see him. So you can make stuff invisible and walk right through them. It's a good way. Me, personally, what I like? I like it. Blind them all, man. I kind of like the Elijah way. Now, as long as we're under grace, you can't take their lives because they can be saved. The many terrorists today were Christians and powerful Christians. So you can't take their lives. That probably doesn't mean you can't blind them yet today. But the day will come when you can. Today, you're under grace. And as long as they have a potential of being saved, you got to treat them and turn the other cheek. That doesn't mean you let them kill you twice. You turn the other cheek, and the glory of God will protect you because you're sealed with the Spirit of God. But right now, today, we can't really blind them and bring down lightning and all that kind of stuff. But that's for the future. When they've all made their choices, and they can't be saved, and they're all going to hell. Don't let somebody who is going to hell, who has no hope of salvation, take you and your loved one down. We have an example in the Old Testament. Before grace, cleanse the land. The Hebrews were told, cleanse the land. Get rid of all of them. Took Jericho. They killed every single one because they were breeding grounds for demons, devils, and evil spirits. That's going to come again. But we're not there yet. Where we are today is learning how to protect ourselves. And today, our warfare is spiritual. Totally spiritual. Totally spiritual. Once we are beyond grace, the warfare will be spiritual and physical. How do I know that? Because Revelation 19 says that the army of the Lord is going to destroy them all and call all the birds to come feed on the flesh. That sounds pretty carnal to me, pretty physical. But we're not there yet. Where we are today is, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. So today, here's what we do. We're pulling down strongholds. How do we do that? We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's number one on the list? Probably fear, if you're dealing with the world around you. It's fear. And where does fear come from? Fear comes from the fear of death. See, we're all believers. We're supposed to be above that. We're supposed to be beyond the fear of death. But we cast on imagination, starting with fear. Now, if you're looking at yourself, we start with pride and impatience. But in terms of dealing with the rest of the world, we start with fear. Watch for everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The Word of God says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So when you accept fear, that is exalting. That fiery dart from the enemy is exalting itself against the knowledge of God's word, which God has not given you a spirit of fear. If God didn't give it to you, where is it coming from? From the devil. So you cast it out. If you entertain it, you treat it as a sin, you confess it, and then you go after the demon beheaded. And you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought in your head should line up with the Word of God. For you and I, we have the mind of Christ. Which means that any thought in your mind that does not belong in the mind of Christ is not your thought. It must be obedient to Christ. So get rid of it. Every thought. When you get angry, you want to give somebody peace of your mind? You're certainly not giving the peace of the mind of Christ. So which mind are you giving them? So that the mind of the devil to me. Because your mind is the mind of Christ. If you were to give them the mind of Christ, you'd speak words which bring grace to them. That's a good thing. So you're not giving them a piece of your mind. You're giving them a piece of the devil's mind. I don't think you want to do that. So bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now that is a wonderfully powerful scripture. Having in a readiness to revenge. This is the foundation of scripture. You want to have in you a readiness, a willingness, an eagerness to revenge all disobedience. When? When your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, there's disobedience. Thought of fear came to your mind and you gave in to the fear. You're being disobedient to God's word. And you're fighting through the fear. Eventually you win. You repent of the fear. You cast out the fear. The fear leaves and you're back in the peace that belongs to somebody who's sealed in the spirit of living God. You're back into obedience. Once you get back into obedience, now you want to get even for the attack upon you. You want to have a readiness for revenge. Revenge against the one who pulled you down. You know, you're walking along, a sudden pain hits your body. Very painful. First thing you got to do is deal with the pain, get rid of the pain. Once you get rid of the pain, either by dealing with your body, dealing with your mind, dealing with the demons behind it, once the pain is gone, now you turn around and say, oh, okay, that was your, you took your best shot with that pain. I got over it. No, let me take my best shot, demon. Let me see what I can do to you. You got me? Let me tell you. Most of us, once upon a time, were kids. And when you were kids, you probably went to school. And in school, more than likely, there were some kids who were like bullies. And the best way to deal with a bully is not to be afraid of them. The best way is to punch them really hard in the nose or someplace that hurts. You do it one time well, they won't bug you again. Am I right? That's what you want to do with these demons, devils, and evil spirits. You want to hit them so hard, they don't want to come back and attack you again. You want to do to them things that are so terrible, they don't want to be around you. Because you may suddenly get upset for some reason and take it out on them. They might be sitting there twiddling their thumbs, hoping he doesn't know them around. And suddenly something happens and you decide to get even and you take up all the demons in a certain area and you do something terrible to them. Are you with me? Now, when people do things like that, the demons don't want to be around them. It's like natural, simple, physical warfare. And let's say, let's make up a situation. Let's take a World War I and a World War III and combine the scenarios. Start with a World War I. There's two lines line up. The good guys are here and the bad guys are over here. And the bad guy over here takes a World War I musket or whatever they use in World War I and shoots at a guy over here and hits the guy. And the guy over here turns around and he takes a machine gun and he shoots some of them. And the guys over here take a bazooka and drops it over here and blows up five people. And the guy over here said, you know, forget this. And he brings a plane over and drops a nuclear bomb on the head. End of story. Now, when they know that a nuclear bomb can drop on their head, you think they're going to try to shoot you with a musket? They'd be stupid. Do we have a nuclear bomb we can drop on their head? All the power in three worlds are vested in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demon, every devil, every evil spirit, everything on earth must be obedient to you in the name of Jesus. You can do to them anything. I suppose you could stop it right there. You could do to them anything, unless it's ungodly, but what ungodly thing can you do to a demon? I don't know of any. I mean, whatever happens to them, they deserve it. Are you with me? You're in warfare. Learn how to hit the enemy harder than the enemy can hit you. And then after a while, you extend it out. You hit my family, I'm going to treat you the same way as if you hit me. Later on, you go to your neighborhood. That's how you progress in spiritual warfare. So having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Let me tell you something. The demons, devils, and evil spirit know that I have a readiness to revenge and avenge every disobedience. Let me tell you. Do I sin? Yes. But I tell you, when I sin, you know who pays for it the most? The demons. See, the wages of sin is death. Now, of course, Jesus took all our sins. He took all the wages so we can sin, confess it, and not have the death problem, not the sin is remedied. So I'll take care of it. But you see, I turned around. The wages of sin is death to the demons. Not to me. No. They're already dead. You know, they're separated from God. Right? So death is separation from God. They're already dead. So I'm just using that as a figure of speech. But my point is, when they get me to sin, they have to pay the price, not me. My price has been paid for. All my sins are washed away. So when they trick me and get me to sin, my wages are paid for. So let me give them some wages. That's the attitude that I have. I have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Once I get back and my sins have been washed away. No, you might think, well, you know, spiritual warfare is what the Bible says, but maybe it's all metaphorical. Maybe it's not real. Well, I don't think anybody here would say that, but maybe somebody on the internet who just popped into a room might think that. Well, let me tell you, how about this? Here's what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief, that's the devil, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill. The thief comes to steal and kill. And to destroy. So the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That sounds to me like a pretty good definition of warfare, or at least terrorist action. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Here is the choice we all have, every single person. We have to decide, do we believe in Jesus or not? If you believe in Jesus, you can get saved. So once you get saved, do you believe that Jesus came to give you abundant life? And do you believe the devil's here to steal your abundant life? That's the issue. That's the warfare. Jesus is here that you might have abundant life because you're a believer. But the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. Every challenge that you and I have traces back to the devil. Before Adam sinned, there were no challenges in the world. There's no sickness, disease, and infirmity. They all trace back to them. Today, you can always trace it back to Adam, but you don't need to go that far back. Just go to the challenge. You say, well, the reason why I did it is because I have a bad habit, and I like to do that. Yeah, but behind that bad habit, there's a demon. You got into that bad habit because of a demon. So, the choice is abundant life, or the devil is going to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's the choice. There's no middle ground. Christians keep trying to walk in middle ground. Abundant life means, what does it mean? Abundant life means you never run short of life. You have a lot of life. It's abundant. All the life you need, you got it. Well, if you have all the life you need, why would you want to die? That doesn't sound like abundant life to me. Ah, but the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. What? Steal your plans, your projects, your money, your finances, your health. Destroy what? Destroy everything you own and destroy you. The ultimate destruction is death. It's very clear cut, black and white. You can't really walk the middle road, which of course is where most of the churches walk in the middle road. But then again, most of the church expects to die. I hope by now most of you expect to be here when Jesus returns. Ah, this abundant life. How are you going to do that? You're going to seek Jesus. He's going to reign over you. And today I'm teaching you, have a readiness to revenge every disobedience. So let's look at the shield and the sword. The shield and the sword. Boy, that's a good name for a book. The shield and the sword. Let's read the armor of God. You all know this, but you know it's the word of God. Let's launch it out so the demons can tremble. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're going to be strong in God. The only strength is in God. God is your strength. He's your personal bravery. He's your invincible army. That's the only strength you got is in God. If your strength is in your money, how hardly shall the rich enter the kingdom of God? If your strength is in your brain, it's going to fail. Your strength has to be in the Lord. And the way you maintain that strength is to put on the whole armor of God. Because you need the whole armor of God, not part of it. You need it all to be able to stand against the willies of the enemy. Okay, well, we know it's really wise, right? Wily coyote, okay? So the wiles of the enemy, trickery and deceit of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are where our problems are coming from. These are where our challenges are coming from. These are where the challenges in our family are coming from. When the person insults you, that's where it's coming from. When sickness and disease tries to kill you, that's where it's coming from. When your checkbook, like your gas tank, is on empty, that's where it's coming from. Although that never happens to anybody here in ABC, in Jesus' name. We won't prophesy that, right? We all have full gas tanks and full checkbooks. Amen? Amen. So it's coming from these places. So we need to understand what they are, how they work, and how to deal with them. You can take all that in a simpler way and think of them as devils, demons, evil spirits, and strong men. More complex than that, but you can think of it that way. Devils, demons, evil spirits, and strong men. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Because for every person, there comes a day when the devil attacks. That's called the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand having your loins girt with truth. Foundation of everything is truth. You must know what the truth is, or the devil will use lies to deceive you. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, you must know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because you're going to make mistakes, you're going to fall short, and you'll sin. If you do that, what upholds you is knowing that it makes no difference, because Jesus paid for all those, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't know that, the devil will get you with guilt, condemnation, and shame. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is not enough to simply hear the scriptures. You must do them. And the best way to do them is to prepare to use them and prepare to teach them. Every teaching should go into your preparation box. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's in your head or your heart. But every time you hear it, you know, it's like when people are cooking, right? They have all these machines, Cuisinaires and knives and all these things. I don't even know what they all are, right? You take all this kind of stuff and you prepare all the food. And sometimes the preparation takes much longer than the actual cooking, right? You can't go directly from, you know, grab a leg of lamb from the freezer and stick it in the frying pan. It doesn't work so well, right? I mean, I know that. Okay? You got to prepare it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You got to prepare it. You got to hear it. You got to say, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to prepare to do it. I'm going to prepare to teach it. I'm going to prepare to act on it. So you listen to every teaching, this teaching and every teaching, with a perspective. I am preparing myself to do it. Okay? Preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. That does not mean the most important thing. It means the shield goes over everything, because the shield is what's going to block the fiery darts. The devil comes and says, you're a sinner. You've committed the same sin 25 times today. And shame and guilt are pounding you. Arrows of shame and guilt are pounding you. You take your shield of faith up there and you say, wait a second here, dude. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Shame and guilt, condemnation have no part of me. That's the shield of faith blocking it. The shield of faith is only as good as your knowledge of the truth, and in this case, your righteousness. But what blocks it is not truth. Truth is always there. Truth doesn't block it. What blocks it is you using the truth. You're always the righteousness of God, but that doesn't stop it. What stops it is you using the truth and your righteousness as a shield of faith and saying, I am the righteousness of God, and that shield will block it. And that's the way you block every attack of the enemy. Thought may come in, maybe a sexual thought hitting you, or sexual memory. And you block it with the shield of faith. That thought contradicts the Word of God. That thought is trying to get me into sexual sin. And the Bible says sexual sin is the only sin that you commit against your own body. So the shield of faith goes above everything because it has to be used above everything to block the attacks on all the other parts of your being. And take the helmet of salvation. Well, the helmet of salvation is you understanding everything that's in your salvation package. It's when you understand everything in your salvation package that it starts to protect your being. Because if you don't know the promise of God, you cannot have faith for something you don't know. To use the shield of faith, you must know what the promises of salvation are. If you don't know that Jesus paid the price so you don't have to be sick, it's hard to have faith for it. Faith is bounded by the knowledge of what the promises are. And the shield of salvation tells you what the promises are. So when you know what the promises are, then you can use the truth of God's word to hold up the shield and block it. And then the sword of the Spirit. Because the sword of the Spirit is how you speak out to block it, and also how you speak out to get your revenge. Number two, notice the shield comes before the sword. The shield protects us from the fiery darts. The helmet tells us all that belongs to you so you can identify what the attacks are. Because the attacks are very deceptive and tricky. You must know what belongs to you to identify the attack. And then the sword lets you go on the counter-attack, on the counter-offensive. The sword lets you revenge all disobedience. So, once you've identified the fact that you're on attack, and you do that because you know what the promise is, here's what the promise says, I'm not having it, and this thought is telling me that I shouldn't have it, or here's the reason why I'm not having it. Like, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Therefore, sickness and disease does not belong in my body. I'm sure this has happened to people. They come home after lunch, or they go to work, and a couple of hours later, terrible pain starts to affect the abdominal section. And the devil is saying, see, you had some bad food for lunch, and now you're going to have chimane poisoning. You're going to have the runs. All this kind of stuff. So you can believe that and accept it. But if you step back and say, wait a second here. I blessed my food, and God said that he blessed my bread and water, and no sickness and disease shall come to me. Plus, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Plus, every germ, disease, virus, parasite, and a bacteria touched my body dies. How in the world can it be too many poison? I can drink any deadly thing, it can't hurt me. How can it be a sickness and disease? No! I know the truth. The truth is there's a demon lying to me. He's hitting my abdominal area with fiery darts of pain, and hitting my mind with doubt and unbelief. But I know the truth. And because I know the truth, I'm going to fix this wagon. So you have to be able to identify the attack before you can go on the counteroffensive. Once you do that, you say, okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I repent of the doubt and unbelief. Where for a few minutes, few seconds, I thought it was bad food at lunch. I repent of that. It's a sin. Doubt and unbelief. Now, in Jesus' name, I bind up those demons, devil, and evil spirit that's attacking my body and attacking my mind with lies. I bind up them in Jesus' name, and I cast them. And, you know, you cast them wherever you want to cast them. The longer you're with ABCs, the more places you learn to cast them. The best places I can teach you right now, because if I do, it would be like taking somebody who has a green belt or a white belt in, say, karate, and putting that person in the ring with Ronda Rousey. You all know who Ronda Rousey is? Well, you should. Ronda Rousey, she's fighting tomorrow night. Okay? It's fighting. I'm not into fighting, but I am into excellence. And she is excellent. She is excellent. She is the world champion. She's 12-0. Everybody she fights is something in zero. And she beats them all. She went against a South American champion who was like 10-0. And the South American champion says, I can fix her wagon. She beat the South American champion in 34 seconds. Her last four fights, she's won in a total. All four fights put together for about 2 minutes. That's excellent. That's really excellent. Now, she didn't get there just by wishing and hoping. She got there by hard work and practice. And we will get there by hard work and practice. Okay? So, you practice identifying the bully. And then you bind them up. And you cast them someplace. The more you do to them, is the more they're afraid to come back to you. It's warfare. That's how warfare works. You know, a lot of people believe that the United States should be the most powerful military country on earth. I, for one, believe that. Or at least I used to believe it. I mean, certainly when we're a godly Christian country, we certainly should be the most powerful one on earth. Now, as we deteriorate and go down the tube, I wonder if I still believe that. Of course, you know, if we're not, who would you choose? There's nobody to choose, you know. It says democracy is a terrible form of government. It just happens to be the best of all of them. A lot of truth to that. Best form of government, of course, is a theocracy, where God leads us and guides us. But we don't have those anymore. Of course, we should have it in our own lives. That's how we started, right? Lord, reign over me. What's that? Theocracy. Lord, take up your throne in my heart. What is that? A kingship. We got a kingship and a theocracy. We got it all wrapped into one. If we can't do it for ourselves, why would we think the nation can do it? Whew. Did I step on some toes? So once you identify the attack, you want to hit the bully, the thief, the enemy, as hard as you can, so he won't want to do it again. Believe me, there are some ways you can hit them really hard. Okay? You take your revenge on the enemy so the demons don't even want to be around you. So, we teach here at ABC, one of the first things we teach is that one of the most important things you can do is confess your nonsense. Confess your nonsense. And after a while, we teach you, confessing your sins is wonderful and great. It restores your fellowship with God. But does nothing about the demons, devils, and evil spirits. So after a while, we says, renounce the demons, devils, and evil spirits. And that's great. And so we confess our sins and we renounce the sins and we renounce the effects of the sins and we renounce the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind them. Then after a while, we ditch it. That's great to renounce them. But it still doesn't do a heck of a lot to them. It blocks your attack for a while. Bind them up and cast them out. So we go repent of our sins, renounce the sins, renounce the effects of the sins, renounce the devils, demons, and evil spirits behind the sins, break the hold of every demon, devil, and evil spirit on yourself, because we are fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Break them, and then cast them out. So Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sin of overeating. I'm sure nobody here does that, but I have. And now in Jesus' name, I renounce the sins. I renounce the effects of the sins. I renounce the devils, demons, and evil spirits beyond the sins. In Jesus' name, I break the hold of every demon, devil, and evil spirit of overeating, of gluttony, of addiction on me. In Jesus' name, I bind them up. And I cast them out of my life. Or I cast them out of my life and my home. No, they don't like that. That cleanses the whole thing. Cleanses your house for a while. Because they have to do what you tell them. So you say, get out of here. And that gets rid of them for a while. You know, it's like if you have stray cats that come into your yard. And you don't want cats in your yard. You chase them. Get out of here. And they'll run away. After a while, they won't come back. Why? Because every time they come, you scare them. They can find some sucker. And when they come, they put out food. Boy, they're always back every day. Then they tell their friends. And then their friends start, why are you all laughing? And then their friends start coming. And pretty soon you have cats coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You understand what I'm telling you all? Well, it's okay if they're nice kids. But it's not okay when they're demons, devils, and evil spirits. Okay? Treat the demons, devils, and evil spirits the same way. If in your home you have a lot of stuff that attracts demons, like demon altars, such as what? Tarot cards, Ouija board, horror movies? Souvenirs of sins you committed 20 years ago? Boy, here's my favorite suit. Boy, did I remember the night, first night I wore the suit. That was a memorable night. Memorable, sinful night. Get rid of them. So souvenirs. Oh, I went to this dance. Here's my ticket to the dance. Oh, I reminder. Get rid of it. Get rid of everything that has demons attached to it. Otherwise, you're inviting other cats in. Let's go over here and we can have a ball with this person reminiscing about all the good old bad days. Am I making sense to you? See, it's all your choice. You want the past or you want the future? You want the future to be like the past? Hang on to all your stuff. So, spiritual tactics, we're talking about basic spiritual tactics. Confess your sins, renounce the sins, not just the sins, but the effects of the sins and the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind them. Break the holds upon you, holds, ties, connection, agreement, covenant, contracts. That's not on here, the agreement, covenant, and contracts, but that's what we teach in healing school. And cast them out of your home or your life. That's a good, good, basic beginning. They did something to you, and you're doing something to them. Now, let's pump it up a notch. They did something to you. Use it as a reminder to confess your sins and invite the Spirit of God to fall fresh upon you. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Giving me quick understanding in all areas of life. In other words, they attack you and you got stronger. Every time they attack you, get stronger. Then, you know, pray God's presence in your home. If you've been through healing school, establish God's kingdom. If not, just pray the Spirit of God and angels flood your home. Establish the kingdom of God. Every time I confess my sins, I establish the kingdom of God. Every time I confess my sins, I do everything I just told you. You can do it all really fast in like a minute or less. Then, bind up all these demons, devils, and evil spirits. Here's a generally beginning place. Cast them into a spiritually dry place and bind them there on the earth so they can't come off the earth into the heavenlies. Bind them on the earth until the Lord Jesus returns to deal with them. They don't like that. They don't like that. That's one good way of getting your revenge. Here's the next step. When they attack you, how do they attack you? Well, very often they attack you through other people. Right? People say something you don't like. They cut your car off. You all know ways people attack you, right? They don't mean to, but demons are influencing them. What you do then is you pray for the person. You forgive the person. You bless the person. You pray for the person's salvation. You pray for the salvation of the person and all their relatives. No, you really got the demon's attention. Every time that somebody attacks you, you're going to pray for the salvation for the whole family. They don't want that at all. They started backing off from you. You see what I mean by a revenge, getting your revenge? If we keep in mind that these people are just like pawns in this game, and the demons are like puppets, like pawns, and the demons are pulling the strings for them to say things and do things that will annoy you, then you go after the demons behind them. So, again, what I'm saying here is this. Don't be satisfied with simply overcoming the challenge, whether it be fear or impatience or pain or lack of money. Don't be satisfied with that. Go after the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind it and get even. That everything that happens in life that you don't like, go after the demon. You may say, but what if they weren't behind it? Point of fact, they're behind all challenges, but just suppose they weren't. You're going to feel badly because they beat up the wrong demon for the wrong thing? I don't think so, right? If they didn't do this, they did something else. Like they arrest these guys, you know, and the guy says, you know, it's the first time we've caught this guy stealing this. Well, do you really believe it's the first time you ever stole it? No, you put the catch in him on the 10th, and the 20th, or the 30th, or the 500th time. How many times did he get away with it before they caught him? Am I right? I mean, it's very, very rare that a guy goes out and steals something, and the first time he steals something, he gets caught. Does it happen? Yes, it does. But most of the time, it doesn't. So beat up the demons. The advanced part of this really goes into more specific things to do. But before you learn more of the more specific and the more advanced things, I want to start at a lower level, because you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. You want to have some success at one level before you go to the higher level. But let me tell you this. One of the great men of faith, I believe he's often called the apostle of faith, was Kenneth Hagin. And he had a saying, which is a wonderful saying. He said, talking about fire darts to your mind, thoughts coming to your mind, he says, you can't avoid birds flying over your head. But you can avoid birds making a nest in your ear. Am I right? What he's saying is, you can't avoid these fire darts coming to your mind, but don't meditate on them and don't dwell on them. Because when you meditate and dwell on them, you're making them your own. It's like the bird making a nest in your ear. Everybody got that? Now let me tell you, it's a wonderful teaching. It's excellent and great. But I want to take you to a level above that. I want to tell you that's not a true statement. You can prevent birds flying over your head. Let's take the natural. A bird trying to fly over your head. Boom! One less bird. No nest. You follow me? Can you do that in natural? Of course. I mean, when is the last time you saw a bird pitching on a hunter's head? Doesn't happen too often, not more than once. You know? That the captain on the ship is welcoming big transatlantic cruise ship and people getting aboard. And one little lady comes up and says, "Captain, you know, I'm a little bit nervous. How often do ships this size sink?" Captain says, "Ma'am, just once." See? So the bird is not going to land on your head if you're a hunter more than once. If you're a good hunter, it won't land there at all. Now, what about the fiery darts? Why in the world, you know, when you're a kid, kids can do mischievous things, okay? Sometimes they take like a rubber band, put it between the fingers, put a piece of paper and pull it and shoot them. That's in my days when we were kids entertaining ourselves. Today they probably use real guns, okay? But back then, with a little rubber band and you hit the guy and a piece of paper, it's pretty hard. You know what I'm telling you? There's different ways kids can annoy somebody, right? And that's one. Now, if you take this rubber band and you look at this new guy in school and you hit him, and the guy looks at you and pulls out from his back a big baseball club and comes after you, you think you're going to hit him the next time? I don't think so, right? Especially if he catches you the first time. Well, that's what you want to do with these demons. Fire darts at your head. Immediately, you go after them and you do things to them. And then right now, I'm just saying, cast them into a spiritual dry place and bind them on the earth. First of all, you want to RRB and then bind them up, break the hose, and then do that. But as you get further along, there's some really nifty things you can do to them. And I hope you all stick with ABC long enough to learn them. So for the advanced, we recommend Healing School Semester 3, which is online, or School of Dominion. Next session, which is tomorrow, or next first one in Semester 3, I forget, we're going to teach you to talk about some of this stuff, right? The underworld and that kind of stuff. Semester 3, we're going to talk about the underworld in great detail, okay? So you're going to learn a lot of stuff about the underworld. Well, why don't we practice what we preach? So I taught this mostly for personal thing, for yourself and for your family to practice it. But let's take an example. The devil really attacked Paris today. No, I don't have any really special affinity to Paris. But I don't like what the devil did. So why don't we apply what we said here, okay? So let's confess our sins, and then I'll lead in a prayer, and if you want, you can agree with me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. We invite the Spirit of God to fall fresh upon every person that's participating. Let your glory fill us, Lord. We come together as one. One can put 1,000 to flight. 2, 10,000. Well, we have a lot more than 2 here, Lord, and on the internet. So in the name of Jesus, we pray that laborers of the harvest cross the path of every person in the country of France today, that's there today, including all the terrorists and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that the gospel of Jesus will be presented to all these people in many ways and on an ongoing basis, in printed material, television, radio, through nature, even if necessary, for angels and the Lord Jesus himself to talk to some of them. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation of many of these people who are in France today, including the terrorists. In Jesus' name, we bind up every demon, devil, and evil spirit that was on the outside of any terrorist today that influenced them directly or indirectly in these bombings. We bind them up in Jesus' name. And we cast them all bound to a spiritually dry place in a faraway country. We bind them there on the earth, incapacitated on the earth until the Lord Jesus returns to deal with them. Father, in Jesus' name, we forgive the sins of every person in the country of France today. It says, whosoever sins we forgive, they are forgiven. We forgive them all their sins, and we pray for revival in the country of France. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, that's an example of what I mean, readiness for revenge. Okay? That's a pretty big one to start with for some of those of you who are new. So I encourage you in general, start with yourself. Start with your family, start with your home, and build it up. And learn how to do this so the demons will see you coming and they'll turn and go the other way. Amen? Amen. Amen.